Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. We have a spring matching gift campaign. It's titled No Retreat. Why? Because we're being encouraged to retreat. And the Bible tells us, don't. Stand firm. Be immovable. Fixed. And that is our determination. We are going to stand firm with your support. Right now, we have a matching gift campaign. And we would love it if you would join us as a gospel partner so we can continue to produce new podcasts, new books, biblical resources, go to more campuses, and expand our digital social media footprint. We want to reach more people with the glorious news of the gospel. We're determined to stand firm and not retreat. Will you join us right now? All gifts are doubled because it is a matching gift campaign. To learn more and to join us as a gospel partner, fortisinstitute.org/donate.
What is?
What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we're talking about travel sports for youth, aka a potential false idol in our life. Ooh, that was pretty bold. AKA potentially a distraction from your students' spiritual maturity. You know, I was traveling this past weekend up to Hickman Community Church. Woot woot. If you're listening from Hickman, thank you so much for the great conference. I spoke at a conference called Iron Sharpens Iron. And as I was staying at the hotel in Turlock, California, there was a travel team there. And I noticed a couple of things as I was with my 12-year-old son, and we were going to and from the hotel on different points, eating breakfast. First of all, whenever I see travel sports teams, they're often like a traveling community. The parents hang out together, the athletes, the kids are spending time together. I've been in hotel lobbies where everyone's just hanging out. They're watching TV, playing cards, snacking, watching a game. I've also been where the teams are traveling, and there's six of them as a pack, just kind of going from breakfast to the gym, to the pool, whatever they're doing. And over time, I see that these are more than just teams. They're often like little communities that are traveling together. When I talk about travel youth teams, today I want to dissect a little bit of what's going into that and how travel youth teams or sports are potentially really problematic for your family. You're listening to this right now, or you have a nephew, a niece, grandchild, and they're all in on travel teams. Guys, we have to be low-key terrified. With great power comes great responsibility. Isn't that a G.I. Joe-ism, or maybe from Lord of the Rings? I don't know where that comes from. But there's a great danger to youth sports, and I'm going to say travel youth sports. I'll give you the delineations here in a second. According to the Ohio State Research, researchers have found that kids who were born in the 1990s were about three times as likely to participate in private clubs, travel sports, as those who were born in the 1950s. Findings were based on adults' retrospective reports of their experiences while growing up, so less empirical. Travel sports are on the rise, and when we say travel club teams or private club teams, that's what we mean, is typically there's an admission fee, jerseys, sports equipment, if it's lacrosse, football, soccer, whatever you're playing. And then, of course, the travel that goes with that, where parents are having to book hotels and different regional locations and travel to play a sports tournament. According to ProjectPlay.org, the average U.S. sports family spent $1,016 on their child's primary sport in 2024, which is a 46% increase since 2019, according to the Aspen Institute's latest parent survey in partnership with Utah State University and Louisiana Tech University. the rising commercialization of youth sports impacts who can access quality sports opportunities or whether some children get to play at all. This is important to note that this is a big business that is booming. Ooh, I used a bunch of B's there. Big business booming. And I'm not just talking about youth sports where you try out for your middle school or high school team. I'm saying a private club team that travels regionally so you can meet with other teams in the area. And then it's now practice every day, games on the weekends. When I say big business, according to this, it was $1,000 a family, but another gentleman named Christopher York, he said the financial findings are somewhat low in comparison to his research, and this was published on womenshealthmag.com as of 2025. He said, yes, $1,200 a year is what a family is spending on just the sports equipment. But when you include things like travel, the number either triples or quadruples. It's either Bjork or York, B-J-O-R-K. He says families are not even aware of how much they are spending. While writing his book, York spoke to a dad who spent $30,000 per year on his child's figure skating career. Guys, as you're noticing, I mean, some of you have stayed in a hotel or you've rented cars, you're well aware of the gas prices to commute. Like, what's taking place is this significant shift in the way that sports are conducted. It's not a recreational team. It's not a school team. The parents are paying big money to get their kids supposed help and under the best coaches with the best opportunities. And this continues to grow. As I record today's episode, I'm 40 years old and I'm in my prime. And don't mind the cough. I have three kids, 15, 12, and 4 years old. I'm not a spectator with you to parenting. I'm in the thick of it with you. I'm obviously a husband and a father, which means that I am responsible to help lead my family with you. And I think a lot about sports and extracurricular involvement and how much space it's given in my family. And whatever you think about it, you have to draw a couple of lines so far. First of all, this is different from a sports team at your school. So many of you who are parents, you know that around middle school to high school is when you can try out for sports teams. And unfortunately, club ball is wrecking some of even our sports teams, because if you haven't played together, or you don't play on the club ball, it's going to be really hard to make it into that sports team at a school that has a reputable program. But it's potentially possible. But that's where you try out for the team. Maybe you make it, maybe you get cut, and then you play or you don't play. Or you have to do JV, then you can move to varsity. A lot of us grew up in this environment. I grew up and I played football for 1 year, soccer for multiple years. Under 12, I played basketball, baseball, and I think that's all. So I've played a little bit of each, but that ranges everything from the YMCA teams to church teams to city teams, and one was a private school football team. I can't, to my knowledge, look back and think of any of those teams that were excellent, and everyone on that team was trying to go pro or get into college ball somewhere. I can't think of any of those teams that were like that. That stratosphere is totally different from me. I grew up in the city team, the club team, the city team or the recreational team, not the club team. The recreational leagues are things like AYSO and YMCA. And some of you are coaches for these. You ref on the side for volleyball, soccer. That's a recreational league. When we talk about a travel team, we're saying that typically there's a cost to just be on the team. And then obviously, as the name implies, that you have a responsibility to travel with and to be at regional tournaments. And in Southern California, a lot of it does happen here or San Diego, or you start to go out towards Palm Springs and you have different games that way. So the reason why these have gotten so popular isn't really because kids have been more interested in sports. It's because of, first of all, the big business. And don't make these an exhaustive order, but do think like there is a big business and there's money to be made Dick's Sporting Goods, coaches, private lessons, those that are promising that they have a better name, image, likeness, and they're going to be able to help you get a name, image, likeness deal. Think of, like, there is a whole business that goes into this. Parents feed this. Parents put their hopes in the teams, and actually parents are putting their hopes in their kids doing well to make it into a career or to a school. So you'll notice that at a lot of these games, the kids seem absolutely miserable. There's the joy sucked out of the actual game itself because parents are high intensity and they're expecting their kids to perform at this level that is probably not even realistic. The promises of potential opportunities for the kids are another significant one, meaning that you can get into college, you can get a scholarship, and potential financial opportunities if you're able to go pro. So the kids and the parents start to place their hope into this sport as leading me into this potential scholarship. But you'll notice that many of the time, the finances don't even make sense. Calculate how much you spent on club ball, how much you traveled, how many cars you went through, all your expenses. And you'll notice that there are many times when you're not making any money off that scholarship. It's a break-even scenario. And I do even say that too as a professor here at Masters, thinking through what the students are required to invest into their sports as opposed to financially what they're compensated for their sport. And then, of course, I do want to be gracious and say, you know, why are some of the club teams so popular? Well, of course, like if you were a child and grew up on that same team, of course, like that's your peers and you want to kind of play with your buddies. And if you've been on that team for years, these are not only just a team, but you become more like friends and a community with each other. The reality is that that's not always a good thing, just to be candid. Just because my kid wants to play on that team with those people doesn't mean that that's the people that I want them to embed themselves with. So parents, listeners of Transform, future dads, it is time for us to wake up about the reality of what travel teams do to a family, for a child, and the impacts that they have on a local church. We are being naive to think that by putting our kid on one of these club ball teams, we are doing them a favor inherently. In fact, some of us are not helping our kids. What we're actually doing is creating significant problems for them, and we're disconnecting them from our local church. So I need to take a short break. I'm going to turn it over to Jimmy. When we come back, I'm going to give you some criteria to think through sports teams for youth. We'll be right back.
And we will be back with more from Greg Gifford in just a moment, who is tackling travel sports and whether they've become an idol in Christian families. And this is a long debated issue. Greg's asking a question I think a lot of Christian parents don't want to really talk about out loud. What is all of this actually forming in the child? And another question that's worth our consideration is that what if that same investment went toward forming a young person's mind and soul instead of their jump shot? The Masters University is built on that same exact conviction, education that shapes the whole person around Christ, not around a scholarship that may never even materialize. Greg also is a professor at the Masters University. So was another one of our fellows, Dr. Adam Tyson. And I can't say it plainly enough. If you have a high school senior in your home, you know someone who does, or you're even thinking about going back to school yourself, the Masters University has got to be at the top of your list. You can get the conversation started right now by visiting masters.edu/manhood. Now, real quick, before we get back to Dr. Gifford, don't forget about downloading Fortis Plus. If you have not downloaded it to your smart device, which is your smartphone or your smart TV, you're missing out. We have hundreds of hours of audio and video content freely available for you right now. And we're adding to it every day. It's not static content. So you can go to fortisplus.org to get started. Now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transform. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. Today we have been talking about youth travel sports. And just to be clear, I am not anti-sport and I am not anti-youth. And that makes me thus not anti-youth sports. But I am wanting to raise some concerns that you should be thinking through regarding travel sports for youth. And I'm talking about 17 and under, 16 and under. we are embedding ourselves in these athletic communities, potentially to the danger of our church communities and our local church. So in the prior segment, what I said is that, you know, we have to be careful. This is a booming business. We are putting our kids in potential danger by embedding them in a community they shouldn't be embedded in. We are overspending. We are loosening our grip on the church and embedding ourselves in these travel committees or travel clubs. So guys, here are some things that I would encourage you to think through. And how can we engage in sports teams in a wise way, a biblical way, and not be reactionists? So as you know, my custom, I try not to just say, hey, no travel teams ever. I don't think the Bible says that so clearly, but a couple of things that the Bible does clearly say, which is Hebrews chapter 10. And as soon as I say that reference, many of you are going to go, oh yeah, Dr. G, we know exactly where you're going. Verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Should Christians participate in travel youth sports teams? That's the just very basic down-home question. Let's just ask it straight up. Should you participate as a believer with your family in a travel sports team? Yes, you should, if you can maintain involvement in your local church. That means we're not playing on Sunday and we're not going to be gone every weekend and missing our local church. It's that easy. Is that likely? I don't know. I think it depends on your sport. Does basketball play on Sunday mornings? I don't know. Does football play on Sunday mornings? I don't know. Does volleyball? I don't know. But if you can be on that travel sport and be home for church on Sunday, okay, check. Yes, I can do this. It is permissible. Dads who are listening to this, let me just be candid that this falls on you to refuse to open the doors to more and more with club ball. If you see that your family is disconnected from the church, and I'm going to say your children are disconnected from the youth ministry. I see the kids that come to church and they sit with their parents and they have no friends that are Christians at church. And over time, you can say, well, yeah, that's a direct result of finding your community on these sports teams and you're never at church. So the kids that are there all the time are actually building relationships with each other. And you come one Sunday out of four. So, of course, you feel like a stranger or marginalized. But Dad, that really lies on you for letting your kid find community in an unsaved community, the unbelieving sports community, as opposed to the local church. So, Dad, take initiative here. Remember, one of the character traits of a godly man, take initiative and say, hey, these sports are starting to take over our church involvement, and we need to back off in a way that is wise. We don't need to cancel it all tomorrow, but we need to pull back a little bit. We are willing to miss one occasional Sunday, maybe one out of the month, but not three out of the month. And dads, just think this responsibility falls on you. What if your child really, 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 really wants to do it and has played with these people since they were eight? It does not matter. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 is clear. Do not neglect the assembling of yourself together. Men, I think this is just a very down-home principle. Whenever I was young, my dad would say, no working on Sunday mornings. We could work in the afternoon, and there's no event, sport, nothing else going on. So nothing competes. It's like, what if I could get time and a half, Dad, by taking a shift on Sunday? Too bad, big dog. You can't do it because your priority is the local church. If you believe that, then none of your sports teams are more important than the local church. Okay, so hang on. So yes, do it if you can prioritize the local church. Do it if you can Proverbs 13:20, which is have Christian friends while on this team, and either those friends are on the team as well, or you're finding them in another place. Remember, Proverbs 13:20 says this, he who walks with the wise will become wise, but the friends of fools will suffer harm. If you're listening to this as a father or a mother, or maybe some of you are even high schoolers who listen to this, who are you spending time with as a friend or a best friend? That is believers who are mature, wanting to pursue Christ. So what happens if my community becomes my sports team? We're traveling together all weekend, and most, if not all of them, are straight up unbelievers, like no profession of faith. They're not even pretending to be followers of Christ. What do you think is going to happen on those trips? What do you think is going to happen while we're spending time together? You're embedding your 14-year-old in an environment with unbelieving peers, and you're encouraging them to follow Christ completely, guys, you are whack if you believe that's what's happening. So if your child can still have Christian friends on this team or another team or through church and you can pursue this team, then yeah, do it. But if you can't, or if it's straining or it's hard to be both at the church and on this team, then I would say, no, don't do it. You're not ready to do it. So the first was, can you maintain involvement in your local church? The second was, can your child have Christian friends? The third, are you still giving to your local church and making wise financial decisions? Some families are imperiling themselves financially for the sake of their 12-year-old sports, ice skating, volleyball, basketball, and concurrently, they're not being faithful stewards to give generously to their local churches. So what takes place is, over time, we're making great financial sacrifices for our kid, and then we don't have other income to be able to give to the church. Or maybe worse, we're indebting ourselves, and our child's 12, and we have 6 more years of this potential chaos. So guys, I would say if you're financially unable to pay for all that goes into club ball while still being a good steward and giving to your local church, then you need to say, no, we can't do this. The Lord doesn't want us to do this because we know giving to our local church is a priority. So yes, stay in church, great friends, you can still give, great. I think you do it. God bless you. You've maintained the priorities well, but let me draw a no here. No, you should not be on youth travel sports teams if it's becoming your community. If you're hanging out more with the people on your travel teams than you are your local church. If you don't have time for the men's Bible study and the women's Bible study and youth group because you're traveling that weekend again, and people at church slowly stop reaching out to you. Number two, no, you shouldn't do it if your child isn't developing Christian friendships because you're never at your local church. And I understand there can be Young Life or maybe a school Bible study that can supplement for sure. And I'm all for those things. But if your child is starting to actually gravitate towards spending time with an unbeliever, then remember what Psalms 1 or Proverbs 13, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, or the friend of fools will suffer harm. What's going to happen when you embed your 13-year-old with a group of fools? They will become foolish. Guys, you're being foolish to think, I can embed my child with this unbelieving sports team and it's all going to go well for them. Do not do it. Men, all right, I'm going to call out dads just for a second and encourage you. You are to guard one child's events from taking over the whole family. And there are many times where you're going to notice, look, we don't get family time outside of being on the side of your court or baseball field or track, whatever you call those fields. We don't get any family time, date time outside of sitting at your sports games. And men, you as dads and husbands need to say, look, we appreciate sports, but our life does not revolve around them. We have other priorities. So there's a time where you as men have to say, look, our life does not revolve around you and the sports team. I'm sorry, you can't play it because it's starting to hijack other biblical priorities. Lastly, I would say no if you're being financially unwise. Honestly, do the math, put the money in a 529 account. I'm not a financial advisor, so I can't give you guys wisdom on how to do that, but I can say biblically what you're doing is foolish, where you're spending more money on your child's sports equipment and gear and travel and gas, and then you're not giving to your local church and you're not giving to widows and orphans. And this whole thing has just gotten crazy. So men and moms and dads, you have a responsibility to be faithful stewards. And if these club balls are hijacking that, then you need to be willing to back off and say, no, I'm so sorry. Here is the line though. Never compromise your priorities at local church. And even for a season, we're not going to compromise that. So we're always going to be in a local church and our local church is always going to be our priority. And we just trust that God is going to bless that. And that is the only pathway to professional sports if there is indeed one for us. We're not going to be fear led. And if our coach doesn't want us to play because we refuse to be there on Sundays, then okay, that's fine. If the private lessons can only meet on Sundays at 10 a.m., it's like, okay, that's fine. We're not going to do the private lessons. What is more important? Helping your child make it to a potential school where they get a partial scholarship or discipling them in sound doctrine and raising them in a good church? What's more important? That is easy to answer all day, every day. We want our kids to be discipled in sound doctrine and be connected to their local church. If that's true, then let your decision-making as parents then transform the way that you engage in these travel sports teams. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for the gift of sports. They can be an act of worship to you. And just like anything that you've created, it can also become an idol. I pray for the parents listening to these episodes that some would wake up and that they would come to grips with what they're doing, that dads who are traveling for softball games and they're not connected to their local church are hurting their families. Lord, raise up a generation of individuals, both coaches, players, and parents that say, we are committed to your local church first, and then we play these sports. Lord, bring a generation of athletes that worship Christ first and then engage in their sports so that this would be a great testimony for your glory, but that these athletes would be successful because they're honoring you first. Lord, do that, we pray, in our kids and in the children's lives that are around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.